we're live. Episode 10 once again.
Here we go, my boy Q.
Yeah, I'm your boy Daniel here, and this is Read Between the Lines. First of all, everybody, thank you for checking us out. All of you out there that are listening to us on the podcast, on the YouTube videos, and everywhere else, appreciate your support. So yeah, man, anything going on this week, man?
This week, not really. Just trying to recuperate from work. Running full speed ahead, but and then some stuff going on tomorrow, and that's about it. Going into the weekend.
Gotcha.
What about yourself?
Yeah, it's been a similar week for me. You know, just taking care of the family and working just the same. But we wanted to kind of jump into some stories that we kind of saw across the interwebs, and I thought it was interesting to kind of go over and kind of get your take on it. And one of the stories that we came across was Matthew Stafford. Are you familiar with who Matthew Stafford is?
Yes, I am.
So for those of you who don't know, Matthew Stafford is a NFL quarterback. You know, I think he won a championship recently with the LA Rams. And there was a story about his wife revealing some past relationships back when she was in college. So let me just read you this story. In a candid revelation, Kelly Stafford, the wife of NFL star Matthew Stafford, admitted to dating his college backup quarterback to make him jealous. During a recent episode of the podcast, I think it's called Pod Crush, I think is what it's called, she revealed that she and Matthew had a rocky start to their relationship while attending the University of Georgia. But to get his attention, she briefly dated his backup, which ultimately led to Matthew realizing his feelings for her. And then the couple has since moved past that tumultuous beginnings, and now they share a strong, enduring relationship. And I think they got like 4 kids now, you know, now that they're married. But I don't know if you saw that clip of her talking about it. And there's a lot of people going back and forth, but do you think that this was kind of fair or foul for her to like put that out there, being that, okay, I'm already married, you know, why am I putting this out there? And do you think that, you know, jealousy kind of plays a part in a healthy relationship?
I think jealousy does, and because jealousy, envy, all that stuff is toxic to the relationship, you know. And I think the reason why she did what she did is because it probably leaked out, or at some point it was going to get out that, you know, she did what she did, as versus trying to date the past quarterback or something like that. And so she want to go ahead and beat into the punch and let everybody know, wait, what happened before he found out some other way, you know?
Well, I think he already knew, obviously, because, I mean, because
he probably did, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, he was trying to get with her when back in college. So once he saw her with him, the backup, I guess he got jealous, and he was like, hey, you know, he's not good for you or whatever. And I think she did mention in the podcast something to the effect of like, well, you know, Matthew was out here dating, you know, supermodels, blah, 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 blah. So I think she was trying to like kind of get under his skin to some degree, mm-hmm. As a way to get him to commit versus, you know, playing the field and letting him kind of know, hey, I'm, you know, people want me. And if you don't, and if you're not careful, somebody else is going to like scoop me up. So I'm not mad at the tactic per se, you know, because dating, it's a game in a lot of ways these days. And, you know, you got to learn how to play it. But what I took issue with is like, dang, you know, it's like, you're already married, you got the dude, you guys got four kids. Like, why put that out there? I guess that's the way I felt. Like, because, like, I don't know, it kind of paints him in a bad light, you know, like, yeah, your wife is out here trying to get with other quarterbacks. I mean, it just looks kind of messy to me anyway. So I'm not mad at how she went about it, because, like I said, you know, dating is kind of a game, and, you know, she played it to her, you know, to her advantage. But once you got the dude, you know, all right, that kind of story is one of those things I feel like she could probably just kept to herself. What do you think?
Yeah, if, I mean, it changes things around if he already knew about it and was already okay with it, and then she just wanted to let people know before he hits the blogs, and knowing how social media could be a savage, and they probably take the story and find out that she dated other people on the team, and, you know, so I guess she was get ahead of the punch. I really don't think it was anything, a bad thing about it, if he already knew. And he probably had an idea that she did, so.
Oh, I'm sure he knew, but, like, I'm sure he's probably thinking, like, why are you putting our business out there? Why are you telling people that?
Because
you...
I think at some point it would get out on social media. It's either that, or maybe they wanted to keep themselves relevant and keep their name in people's mouth, I guess, and just people know about it.
Yeah.
Always talking about them and keep their name fresh.
Well, Matthew Stafford's never really been one of those to be, like, garnishing attention.
Right.
Like, most people didn't even know who he is probably until this story broke out, you know, for all the wrong reasons. So, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like
people love attention, man.
That's where I was going. Like, I feel like, you know, people are sometimes so thirsty for attention and, like, you know, clout chasing, and, like, kind of in the same vein when we talked about weeks ago about what's her name, Jada Pinkett, like, putting out stories that really she should be keeping to herself. Like, why would you be talking about all these, you know, and making Will Smith look stupid out here? That's kind of like how I feel about this to some degree. You know, it's like, okay, you got the guy, you got four kids with him. Why are you trying to make him look stupid now, making these stupid comments? Like, okay. Like, so it kind of feels like, okay, is she just trying to get this for attention, you know, or whatnot? So that's kind of like how it came across to me, you know?
Yeah. Honestly, like I said, I just think it's just to keep her name in people's mouths and stay on top of social media hot topics, so she can be talked about on Read Between the Lines.
Yeah, she's trying to get as many clicks as she can get from us, I guess.
Yeah, that's all she really wants.
Oh, man.
And then again, you never know. It could be a motive behind it. Maybe she pretty soon she might want to write a tell-all book or something. You know, I'm pretty sure she may have some stories, you know, some stuff that she may want to tell. And just give people little clips, you know. Who knows? Like, people are getting creative. So,
or she may be trying to tell Matthew something. Be like, hey, bro, like, you know, you better get it together because I'm putting stuff out here.
Yeah, that too.
Like, I don't know what you got going on, but yeah, I thought it was a bit wild, you know, when I read that, but. Moving on to this next story about Ariana Grande. She was slammed recently by Jeffrey Dahmer's victim's family for saying that the killer was on her dream dinner list. And let me just read you a little bit about this. So Ariana Grande is facing backlash from the family of Jeffrey Dahmer's victim, Tony Hughes, after she revealed on a podcast that Dahmer was her dream dinner guest. The comments kind of shocked Hughes' family, who found them insensitive and disturbing. Dahmer, who killed and dismembered 17 men between 1978 and 1991, including Hughes, remains a controversial figure. Hughes' mother and sister urged Grande to apologize, criticizing her for making such remarks, especially to young audiences. So what did you think about this story? And also, what is it with women and being fascinated with freaking serial killers and like these true crime, you know, like shows and podcasts? It's like they get so into these things for some reason.
I think it's a fetish.
A fetish?
I think they all want to be on Lifetime at some point. You know, it makes them feel wanted that somebody just... I really don't know.
That someone wants to kill them?
Yeah, someone wants
to kill them. And like, you know, assault them?
Yeah. They love that the hype, the energy of the high that somebody's chasing them and running after them, like their real life movie or something. I don't know. Like it's a story that they want to live and tell, and I don't know.
Silly. So, you know, when I saw this story, like, because I got several friends that, you know, they'll tell me, yeah, like true crime shows, that's like their thing. They love, yeah, you know, watching those.
And the 90 Day Fiancé and 90 Day Lockup, Love at the Lockup. And
yeah, like what is it with these like bad boys and like serial killers that they're fascinated with? But I feel like maybe by watching these shows or learning about these characters, like, it almost feels like a safe thrill. You know what I'm saying? Like they get to sort of vicariously through these victims and stuff, like live the thrill of like, oh my God. But at the same time, they're kind of safe at home. Like nothing's really going to happen to them. But it's kind of a way to like live that sort of fantasy of like being chased around or whatever. But yeah, it's just so weird to me that, you know, the fascination that I see with a lot of women that like that kind of stuff. And when it comes to Ariana Grande, when she said that, I mean, honestly, I wasn't really shocked, to be honest, because I feel like a lot of women out there have this like thing for criminals and like, you know, serial killers like her and like, you know, true crime stuff. So it kind of makes sense. And maybe she's just one of those. And, you know, so I just wonder if, like, if she did have him for dinner, what would that be like? Like, for real. Like, what if he brought, like, his own Tupperware? And, like, because, you know, he used to eat people. So, like, what if he brought, like, a little dish? Because, I mean, he kind of did have, like, a whole fridge full of, like, organs and people's heads and stuff like that. So, yeah, I don't know if you want that, Ariana. I don't know. I don't know about that. Yeah. What you think?
Thank you, Knicks.
yeah
she if she play around with fire, she's gonna be burned. Yeah. So I don't think she mean it. I think, I don't know, these women, who knows? I think that's kind of crazy, but I don't know why you want to invite somebody to the dinner, you know,
maybe just to pick their brain. Because that's the other thing, like a lot of women I feel like also try to get into the psychic of man and try to understand man and like, and maybe some
get
of that.
Head.
Yeah. So maybe they find it fascinating in that regard, trying to figure out the psychic of a man that's capable of doing these things. And then the other thing, which kind of goes back to a lot of women, like being into like dudes in prison. A lot of women just have this like this care in them, like they want to like fix a man. They think they can fix the guy and like turn him around, and I think a lot of that also gets portrayed whenever they reach out to these like inmates and stuff, because I think if deep down they feel like, oh well, I feel like if I was with him, like, you know, I can fix him. I can make him better. And they have like this like empathy and like this, almost like this motherly affection towards them. And of course, when you're in prison, you're gonna eat that up, because I mean, what else you got going on? So,
who wants a project?
Women. Some women do. Some women like a project.
Okay, ladies, I'm gonna ask you guys a question. would you rather have a project? Like, okay, I understand maybe a project if it's going to be temporary to the point, maybe a couple months. You see some different, you know, changes. You could see some things changing around. Like, okay, some progress. But what if it's a project that can take up to 2 or 3 years?
Oh, someone will wait 2 or 3 years. Heck, these guys are in prison for...
I'm talking about, like, once they get out and they have certain types of things in life to do, they're trying to correct it because they're wanting to critique them and create their love, fantasy love or something, you know?
Well, now, women will wait for you if they see potential in you.
Okay.
And
looking for potential. Okay.
And if they feel like you're a project or whatever, but they see potential, like maybe they see a diamond in the rough, yeah, they'll wait it out 2-3 years. But a woman is not gonna wait forever,
right?
You know, at some point, they'll cut you off if they feel like you're not progressing or you're not getting to the level that you're supposed to be, given all that they've sort of put into you per se. So I think women, if they really care about you, they will take on a project per se if they see the end goal in like a few years or whatever. That's why you see, like, for example, these girls that are with like these athletes since high school, you all know, right. And like right now, because they know he's a star, the star quarterback or the star, you know, basketball player, whatever. They know that right now he's 16, 17. I mean, he ain't got nothing going for him other than sports or basketball. All but right. They know that he's got potential to make it to the NBA or the NFL or whatever. So they'll stick around or they see the potential. So a lot of times it's not uncommon to see a lot of these athletes marry their high school sweethearts because – they're the ones that were with them throughout the whole thing. And they know their ride or die. And of course, the women on the other end, they saw the potential. They saw where this was going. Versus if a woman saw that you had the potential, but then you squandered it and you kind of like, you know, fumbled the bag per se and just didn't care. A lot of them will be like, nah, I'm moving on. So to answer your question, I think some women, not all of them, because that also depends on your age, I think. Yeah. The older you get, you may not want to deal with the project anymore. If you're a woman in your 30s or whatever, like, you don't got time for a project. You want someone that's already stable and got something going on. But you know, that also depends on the woman and where she's at in life. But right. I do think that some will take a project on, but not forever, though.
Okay, that's true. That makes sense.
Yeah. But yeah, so Ariana Grande, you know, she's got to work on her dinner list because that's a bit wild. Moving on, we got the story of Diddy. So I don't know if you saw where Diddy – we're still talking about Diddy because, I mean, it's kind of – it's been like last week or something where this happened, but – people were talking about how Diddy like erased his whole Instagram account, like all, you know, all his pictures and videos, including the apology, they're all gone. And what do you think that means? Do you feel like he's trying to send some kind of message, or he's like maybe just trying to lay low by just getting rid of all of that and getting his name out of people's minds?
Yeah, I think what he's trying to do is trying to clear people's minds. I think he's trying to erase all his memories because people remember when they see pictures. So when they see pictures and do investigation and try to interrogate what they see, I think if he just erase it all and people eventually forget about him. You know, so I think he just went through and just, you know, because pictures are worth 1,000 words, right? So I think he wanted to just erase all his photos. Probably his lawyer said this might be the best thing to do. And just lay low. Lay up under the radar. Don't do all that posting and stuff on social media. Just have a chill, quiet life and see what happens.
Well, maybe, yeah, to that point, maybe some of the videos or pictures might have been incriminating just from stuff that no one was thinking about at the time. And rather than kind of going through each one, trying to figure it out, like just get rid of everything in case there's some kind of incriminating evidence on there. So I can see where that would be the case. Of course, you know, out of sight, out of mind. So if his, you know, if his whole account is gone, no one's going to be like paying attention. And it might be part of his plan to not be on people's minds, and hopefully quietly people can just kind of move on, because it is a 24-hour cycle news where people are just moving on to the next thing. And so we probably won't hear nothing more really from him or about him until the investigation starts to kind of, you know, take shape, and we start seeing perhaps not accusations, but charges brought up against him, you know, by the FBI and everything. So yeah, I mean, who knows the exact reason, but I think it's fair to say that he's probably trying to lay low and not be out here in people's minds.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Any other thoughts on that?
I agree. I just think he's just trying to just clear his name and basically trying to start fresh. Because he's going to come back. He's going to come back in maybe 2027, 2028. Something new, fresh, new music. You know, who knows? Because these people, he got millions, and so he got plans to do all this other stuff. So he can do it. He probably come back in 2027 after Super Bowl and drop some new track or something fresh, and boom, there he's back.
Yeah, and maybe by taking all that stuff off, maybe it's the... gives you the opportunity to be like, okay, clean slate or new project or whatever, and nothing else you can worry about. But I don't think none of that it's going to matter in people's minds until we figure out one way or the other where things stand in terms of these allegations and charges that are likely to come forward. And of course, unless there's like an actual sincere apology or like some sort of like mea culpa when it comes to the whole Cassie thing, I don't think people are going to be, you know, quick to move on either, even if he goes away, because he's got to really like be able to get people to buy into the fact that, hey, I'm sorry about what happened. I'm making amends and trying to make myself better. Even if he just does it for publicity, not really mean it per se, even if he does, like, I don't know, like go to women's shelter or do some kind of counseling or like meet with certain people in certain communities and like talk about what he did, he's going to have to do something along those lines, even if it's just for PR, because people are not going to forget very easily what they saw on that video. But so he probably just needs to lay low for a while.
Right.
All right. Okay, so what else we got? So moving on, I don't know if you knew this, but this is another story that I saw on the internet a couple of days ago, but MTV deletes news archives from the internet, erasing over two decades of articles. So let me quickly read you this story about MTV News. So MTV has deleted the archives of MTV News from the internet, removing decades of music journalism that documented the rise of multiple stars and genres since the site's founding in 1996. The link to mtvnews.com and mtv.com/news now redirect to MTV's homepage. This decision follows the shutdown of MTV News in 2023 during a round of layoffs by the parent company Paramount, which cut 25% of jobs. So when I saw this, I was like, dang. Like, well, to be fair, I've never gone on to MTV news.com to look for any articles or anything like that. So, you know, let me just say that from the get-go. But I do think it's a sign of the times in the sense that, you know, they're realizing, okay, people are not paying attention to these, going to these websites or whatever. And it also made me think about, dang, just MTV as an institution, what it was back in 1981 when it first came out, and you had that video that kind of started MTV with that video for the song. Video Kill the Radio Star. Video Kill the Radio Star. Something like that.
Yeah. I remember that now.
Yeah, so that was the first video they ever played. And because everybody thought, okay, now that we got MTV and music videos, no one's going to listen to the radio anymore. And that was in 1991, which is like forever ago when you think about it now. And I feel like MTV went through so many different periods. Especially in the 90s and early 2000s. But obviously, MTV is still around. But when I heard these news, it made me think about like some of my favorite things about MTV or back in the day. And, you know, as far as you, what are some of the things that you remember that you were like, oh, man, MTV used to be hot back then?
Oh, I'm going to tell you, MTV... And VH1, MTV, I love watching like music videos. Like if there's a new track that dropped on the radio and you wanted to get a vision of where the song was going, you always saw the video. So you will watch MTV, like you have the countdown, especially in New Year's. They have New Year's Eve, I think it was New Year's Eve, they have like the top 100 countdown videos. And I remember we used to record them on TV and just go and go back and watch them. And you go through the 100 songs countdown, top 100. It'll count down to see your favorite tracks, you know, and you see the video. And once you see the video, it kind of gives you this clarity, like what the song was talking about, you know.
Yeah, or sometimes it was completely different.
Yeah, that too. And especially like a soundtrack to your favorite movie just dropped. And you go and look at the video to go with the movie, it's like watching the behind the scenes or extra clips or cliff notes of the movie because the video went right with the movie. And it could be a spoiler alert because if you haven't seen the movie yet and you're watching the soundtrack online or on MTV and you're seeing different clips of the movie in the video, you're thinking, dang, now I'm seeing all this. Now I got to go see it. Or, man, I done saw this. Now I feel like I already seen it. Yeah. I love watching MTV when it came to that. Also, the original, I think it was Real World.
Real World, yeah.
And that was my show. That was my first reality show that I watched. I thought was kind of hot. Like Real World, and you had Road Rules.
Yeah. You know, Real World might have been the first.
I think it was reality show. Because you had all these different strangers.
Yeah.
Moving into a house.
Yeah.
And everything was live. And it wasn't no skit.
It wasn't scripted.
It wasn't scripted
that
all.
That we know so of, just, but yeah.
You just live your life and people clash. Some people had end up getting along, having a good time, and they moved on, you know?
Yeah. I remember.
I think it was kind of hot. And the house was like dope. I always wanted to see what the house looked like.
Yeah.
You know? To have 12 different strangers from all across the world coming to this one house for, I don't know, it was like what, for a month or 2 months or something like that, 6 months or something like that?
The length of time that they would live together, that I'm not sure. But I know, like, for example, they couldn't have, like, phones or TVs or anything like that, nothing to distract them because they want them to, like, really focus on each other and, like, really, yeah, like, interact. Like,
That was the real reality shows that I really miss. And it was always sad at the end because it'd show everybody at the house getting packed up, knowing the season was over and they're fixing to leave. And to that very last one, he's by himself or she's by herself.
Yeah, well, it was interesting. They would always do it in different cities. And I remember back in those days, I don't remember what year it was. I remember like doing like a VHS video because it was like an mm-hmm. audition video because I wanted to be on one. Honestly, I don't think I ever sent it. I don't think I ever sent that audition video, but
obviously you didn't. If you would, you wouldn't be sitting here now.
Yeah, well, I'll probably still be here probably because, you know, it's been so long, but you never try to get on there?
No. Because, I mean, you live with all these different strangers. You have no idea. You don't know anything about these people.
But that was the fun part. I mean,
yeah,
and you.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Because you watch, I mean, you would watch and be like, oh, man, that's kind of cool. And like, you know, and you'd always try to figure out like, all right, who's going to try to hook up with who? Because it was always be like three girls and four guys or like right. four girls and three dudes or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
But I feel like the MTV also had other like pretty memorable shows. Not just that. Did you ever watch like MTV Cribs?
Yeah. TV Cribs.
I think that was like one of the first shows that kind of gave you a glimpse into like celebrities and how they live. Back in the 80s, you had like the lifestyle, the rich and famous. But this one really like highlighted more like the I guess more like, you know, the pop celebrities and how they live. So I remember watching that. What's the other shows that was on there that was real popular? Singled Out. Did you ever watch Singled Out?
No.
It had Carmen Electra. She was one of the hosts. It was like a dating show.
I remember it, but I didn't get to watch it.
Yeah. What about TRL?
TRL, yeah. Also, what's the show about?
Paint My Ride?
Paint My Ride.
Yeah.
And there's another one like TRL. And was Wildin' Out? Wildin' Out wasn't on it, was it?
Wildin' Out is on MTV, I think, but that came back. That came out later, though, I thought.
Yeah, it did.
I mean,
there was a show that came on where they was, I don't know, fixing up houses or.
Fixing up houses?
Houses or record deals or recordings. It was something like that. And basically, almost like it was a competition.
Well, I remember when Diddy had that competition.
Yeah.
That, what was it? They ended up getting that girl group, Danity Kane.
Danity Kane, yeah.
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 Yeah. Nah, but MTV used to be, you know, I remember watching it coming after school to watch the videos. And then slowly, there was less and less music videos. And it was more shows. Right. More,
that's because of YouTube.
Well, I mean, YouTube wasn't really that big back then. In fact, I feel like YouTube has kind of killed a lot of these TV networks. And, you know, like right now, I don't even know who watches MTV, really. You know, we used to always, well, I don't know about you, but I used to always, every year, watch like the MTV Music Awards or like MTV Movie Awards because it was like a
Music it was Awards,
a,
yeah.
It was like a moment. Like you're like, oh man, who's gonna perform? Who's gonna win this? Who's gonna win that? And you used to be like, oh man, like watch them like in the red carpet, what they're wearing, this and that. Like nowadays, I couldn't tell you the last time I watched a MTV Music Awards. And no one even talks about it, to be honest.
No. Everything is VMAs now. Are the Grammys.
I mean, yeah, the Grammys or what's the other one? The Oscars.
Nobody watched the Oscars.
Who watches the VMAs?
People will watch the VMAs before they watch Oscars. Oscars is just boring.
Well, let me ask you, do you feel like we've aged out of those things? And maybe like younger people are actually still watching MTV and
if it was my favorite artist, that somebody I rock with. And I know they had a good season and got a couple of awards, got a couple of light shows, and I tune in to watch it, you know. And I won't watch the whole thing, but if they performing, I will watch it. I would probably fast forward to the clip. I see my favorite artist performed, and then after that, I'm done.
Yeah. Well, speaking of performing, I know it's not in our notes necessarily, but what did you think about, you know, Kendrick Lamar performing on Juneteenth?
When I tell you he killed Drake. he put Drake on the platter.
Man.
And just chopped him up.
You and think just, so?
At this point, you have to say, at this point, Drake should say, you know what? It is what it is. Both of them are successful, and you can't take that from both of them. Both of them are great. You know, I like both of them. Both of them are hot. Performance are hot. The creativity, the craft is hot. But at that moment, Kendrick Lamar, he just did his thing, man. I mean, and then on top of that, you look in the audience, you see LeBron James, you see people out there, that big head people out there, just, you know, hyping them on. So it did just gave him more clout, you know, as you go. But so if I was Drake, I think Drake is doing the right thing. Just be quiet. Just be quiet. Work on what you're gonna work on. Do your promos on other stuff and just let it go and let it be.
Yeah, you know, I didn't watch the whole thing, but I watched some bits and pieces of it, and it was a vibe. And I was kind of surprised when I saw, for example, like LeBron James there, because LeBron James is supposed to be like really good friends with Drake, and the fact that he was there, but I feel like he would have been there regardless, you know, not necessarily because, you know, he's necessarily Team Kendrick or whatever.
I don't think it's a bad thing that he was there. I still think he's great friends with Drake. I think it just the cameras just zoomed in on him because he was there, and it was clickbait.
Well, plus, you know, that's like one of those like cultural moments per se. And he just wanted to be there, you know, right. One of those things. But, you know, a lot of people say that, yeah, he killed Drake or whatever. But at the same time, it's like, would we be talking about Kendrick if it wasn't for Drake? I mean, really? I mean, because even though he's a great artist and lyricist or whatever, but like, I mean, and he's got his own cult following, like, you know, people that are really, you know, ride for Kendrick. But nobody really listens to Kendrick like that. I mean, let's be honest. When it comes to between him and Drake, I mean, obviously Drake is more popular, you know, is definitely has more,
right,
more downloads and hits and number ones and all of that. So I'm happy for Kendrick and what he's been able to do, capitalizing on this whole beef. But truth be told, this beef, that concert probably wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for Drake. So, and that's why I feel like at the end of the day, I feel like Drake won, because he kind of made Kendrick relevant once again. He made him come out of his shadow, come out of his shell in terms of actually start rapping against, because we hadn't heard from him in a while. But that was smart from him to do and capitalize on it. And now I think he's shooting a video for the song, right, Not Like Us. And it's probably going to be, you know, thumping all summer long, probably. I mean, it is a bop. I'll have to give him that. But I don't know what Drake is going to do. He might lay low because he just came off a tour. And he's on like vacation, so I honestly don't expect much.
He's probably going to a Chris Brown concert.
I don't know.
Yeah,
you think so? Just check it out.
Chris Brown's a vibe. I don't care what you say. He's a vibe. So if I was an artist and my tour was over, I'd go check out Chris Brown, Breezy. You know, see his show. Yeah, because every clip I've seen so far, he's killing it.
You mean like
performance, music, his dancers alone, Lord have mercy. So, yeah, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you know, I mean, I would go see Chris Brown. I mean, I don't know that I would pay, you know, money right now, but if someone gave me some tickets, I'll go, right, you know, which, by the way, that kind of reminded me, which we talked about Jennifer Lopez last week, but I don't know if you saw that clip that's running around. That's an old clip.
Yes.
Okay. Let me just kind of paint the picture. So there was a clip going around of Jennifer Lopez performing at this like empty stadium or empty Coliseum, and like all the seats on the sides were all empty and there were just people on the floor. Now you're saying that's an old clip?
Yeah. When I say old, I think I told you about that a while back when her ticket sales started to plummet, when they was canceling her shows. And I had mentioned it to you back then that I saw that clip a while back where she was doing performances. And then whoever the cameraman was, he was shady. Because why would you do that? And knowing this is a big, huge pop artist, and that's just the worst thing can kill a vibe, is you got your artist singing your favorite song, and you're like, yeah, 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 yeah. And then all of a sudden, the cameraman goes out to the audience, and you look around like, why be so shady?
But you don't think nobody else had cameras that night that probably took?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they did. And that's why people were saying her shows was canceling. Like, she canceled a lot of her shows, and she tried to blame it on her marital status with Ben Affleck. That didn't have anything to do with it. Mm-hmm. It was happening before that happened.
Yeah.
So, but I think, like I said at the beginning, a while back on, episode 2 or 3, that she needs to focus on fashion. Like, she is great. She's a beautiful woman. Her fashion is phenomenal. Her looks, she got the looks. You know, stay in that era. You know, if you want to produce and make some TV shows, like the show she had called World of Dance, that was great. She did a great job with that. You know, bless some kids, because she can dance at the end of the day. But after that, you doing this music, let it go, bro.
What do you think about her, like, flying coach instead of private?
She needs to be humbled.
Do you think she did that on purpose? Like, obviously she did it on purpose, but like,
she did it for clickbait, bro. She wants people to know that she's genuine from the block.
Okay. So, because some people were saying that, well, maybe she just did it because she needed to get to a certain location quickly and there wasn't like a charter plane or whatever that can get her there on time. Right. But still, I feel like if you were still doing that, you'd probably be flying first class, not coach. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean,
because it's funny how
it's not from lack of funds.
No, by no means. Money is no issue. If anything, it's to show people that she has humanity and she is humble. And I am human just like you. So, if you can do coach, I can do coach, you know. And just because I'm an artist that's been around the world does not mean I cannot fly coach. You know, I don't have to have everything first class.
Yeah.
If things was different as far as like her career and her popularity and all these different stories going around her, I don't think she probably did coach. I think she probably did first class. Yeah. I think now she's trying to show people that she is a regular person, just like anybody.
Well, I don't think if people are actually buying it, but at the same time, you know,
it's like they're trying to say, I think a manager or somebody was given a suggestion that maybe she should move to Nashville and do country.
Oh yeah, we talked about that last week. Yeah, and yeah, that's enough. That's not the move.
No, they're killing her, bro.
But, you know, I was, I watched this video of this guy. He was talking about, like, why you're never going to see, like, a Jennifer Lopez residency in Vegas or, like, a Billie Eilish or, like, a Lana Del Rey residency or some of these artists that are out there, because they don't have enough music or hits to put on a whole concert. So yeah, you hear them, but he was making the point, like, for example, back in the day, even without social media, without all this stuff that we have now, you went to the store and you heard Billie Jean, you knew exactly who that was. Or you heard Like a Virgin, you knew exactly who that was.
Right.
But nowadays, they're, you know, these artists, you hear, they have these songs and you have no idea who they are. And, you know, people think that, oh man, they're super popular and they can carry a whole concert. And they can't. That's why you see a lot of these, like, older, I guess, artists doing these residencies because they have the catalog, they have the amount of music that can carry a show. And unfortunately, like we talked about a couple episodes ago, Jennifer Lopez just doesn't have enough songs to carry, I think, a whole concert. Yeah. So I thought it was an interesting take from this guy online. Mm-hmm. But you were going to say something?
Yeah, it was clips where they seen Lana Del Rey around Greenville. You see that?
Yeah, and actually, I was going to ask you, like, why was she even here? Does she got family here?
Or? Well, I mean, I don't know, but I seen a lot of clips. First, I thought it was like something fake, but
yeah,
I saw a lot of people saying on social media that she was around town. Like,
yeah, I'm not really into her music. There's like a couple of songs that I like from her.
A couple of them I like.
Yeah, there's a couple I like, but to be honest, I didn't really know what she looked like. So when they said that she was at this restaurant at Gianna's, like, if I was there having dinner, I would have known who she was.
Right. Yeah.
If anything, when people were taking pictures with her, had I been downtown or whatever, I would have been like, I would have thought that she was like a YouTube celebrity or like a TikTok celebrity or something, because
yeah,
her face I didn't right. even recognize. Did you?
I know who she is, and would I recognize her? Probably not.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So, but I think that's kind of cool that she was here in the locals. You know, because it says a lot about Greenville.
Man, I don't know eventually, because Greenville is growing, so maybe Greenville will become one of those spots where you start spotting more people like celebrities, or like maybe not like A-listers, but like people that are more on the...
I think people like to come and like just to get away from the high rise, from the crazy lifestyle, just to come and just relax and enjoy just the normal life for a change, and just be free, not to worry about like California or these big huge cities, LA, and just come down to South Carolina and just go to the... I mean, it's a good place to come. Just to visit, if you are A-list artist or whatever the case may be, but just come and hang out, just chill,
Actually, I think in some degrees, I kind of think the opposite. Because when you have these celebrities and they come to towns like this, a lot of people are going to know who they are. And like you saw, there's a bunch of people around her trying to take pictures and autographs, and she was really cool about it, which was nice. And she's not like a really well known celebrity, but so if you have bigger people out here, they would definitely like swarm you.
Right.
But in LA, especially around Hollywood, there's so many celebrities walking around. Nobody cares, bro. Like, they're there all the time, so you get... I feel like you would get less hassle in Hollywood, but I can also see wanting to get away from Hollywood and that vibe and just wanting something like completely different, like down south, southern hospitality or whatever.
Right.
And ain't no telling if she was maybe shooting a video or what she's doing down here. But it's kind of cool. We don't see that every day.
No, we don't.
But let's see. So moving on, I saw this thing yesterday and I thought was kind of an interesting thing. So men are raw dogging it on flights. And let me just explain what this is on this article that talks about it. So a new travel trend called raw dogging has emerged, where men and some women take flights without any modern comforts like music, movies, snacks, or sleep. This anti-indulgence challenge, inspired by Idris Elba's character in the Apple TV series Hijack, sees travelers enduring long flights staring at the in-flight map or simply doing nothing. I don't know if you've seen videos about this, but you'll see these guys... where they'll be like on a 7-hour flight, They don't listen to music. They don't read nothing. They don't even drink water. They just stare at the in-flight, you know, thingy on the TV, on the monitor. And that's all they do. They'll just stare at it for like 7 hours straight. I saw this one guy did it for like 11 hours. And they try to say that it it makes you improve like your mental toughness.
That's right, yeah.
So I showed it to my wife and I was like, you know, I might try that next flight we take. I might do it on a short flight just to see if I can do it. But what do you think? You think that's like that's
the new travel?
No?
No. Now, if I'm exhausted and tired the night before and I got an early morning flight, then obviously I'm gonna relax, close my eyes, and go to sleep. Yeah. But just to sit there and stare into space.
Just to see if you could mentally do it?
Mentally do it? No, yeah. I won't be able to do it.
Mm-mm. Oh, man. We should try it, though.
No, I would not. I know I won't be able to do it. I know my tension. I mean, it's short.
Well, maybe that's like a cool way to exercise that and make your attention span better.
That would be, yeah. Yeah, that would be great.
I don't know that I would.
Maybe if it was like a 2-hour flight, a 3-hour flight, yeah. Maybe like to Miami or something like that, then yeah.
And but, even that would be tough because yeah, but you're 3 hours,
7, 8 hour, 11 hour flight, and you just staring unless my mind is just cluttered and I got a lot on my mind. I'm just in a bad space and I want to just be quiet and just think. I probably can do it.
So maybe staring at the little plane as it's moving through the screen, and then you just kind of go into this like zen. Yeah. Sort of like meditative mode.
Right.
Maybe that's how they do it.
Yeah, it got to be, man.
So when I saw that, I was like, you know what? I might try that. But even like a 2 or 3 hour flight might be too much to start with. So I think like, you know how we take flights sometimes from like Greenville to Atlanta? It's like 30, 40 minutes that it takes to get there. I might do like a little short one like that just to see. Cause I mean, I feel like, okay, if I can do that, then maybe I can move on to longer flights. But the fact that some guys, that's crazy, man. Like, you know, 7 hours or 11 hours just staring. Oh my God. I would, man. That's like, you know, kudos to them. And if that's like the new tribal flex, then. Hey, you know, kudos to you, but I just thought it was kind of crazy. Now, I haven't watched that show on Apple TV. Now, I do like Idris Elba. I mean, he's a cool actor. I used to watch him on that show, that British show. God, what was the name of that British show he was in? Do you remember?
Man. I mean, he played in Hijack. Was it Hijack?
Well, the name of the show is called Hijacked. It's on Apple TV, but right. I don't have Apple TV, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But he used to be on this British show, and I can't think of the name right now. But
I know he's a DJ.
He's a DJ too. And he's actually pretty good.
He's a great DJ.
Yeah. So I mean, he kind of does a lot of things. I know there was at one point they were talking about him maybe doing like 007. Being the next James Bond.
Yeah, I did hear that, yeah.
Now, obviously, you know, James Bond's always been white, but if they were to pick him to be the next 007 agent, I think he'd be a good one. I think he'd do a good job. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man. So what else we got? So I saw this story about this couple that kind of sparked a controversy and just wanted to get your thoughts on it. So let me just read you this story. So a wife has caused a stir after she admitted that she had a contingency plan in place in case her marriage ended in divorce. She revealed on Reddit that she had been keeping meticulous records of all her contributions and gathering evidence over the years just in case. This admission led to mixed reactions, with some branding her as having one foot out the door of her marriage, while others applauded her for being prepared and protecting herself. She explained that her actions were driven by practicality and self-preservation, not distrust of her husband. The post garnered significant attention, with many users supporting her stance and emphasizing the importance of financial independence and security. So I wanted to kind of get your take on this. And do you think that was this something reasonable for her to do, or kind of paranoid on her end to have this sort of contingency plan in place?
Well, in today's world, you just don't know who you marry. You think you do. If she have a lot of assets, if she was like a celebrity or something, I don't know.
Well, just to kind of give you a little background. So apparently her and her husband have been married for 20 years.
20 years, okay.
And during that span of time, she pretty much helped him build his business. I don't know what kind of business it was, but she kind of sort of put her career aside and just helped him build the business and kind of take care of the kids or whatever. And she's got a son, mm-hmm. and her son wanted her to talk to his fiance, because I guess he had a fiance, they're about to get married. And her son wanted her mom to, wanted his mom to talk to his fiance and let her know, hey, you know, it's okay if you want to like stay home and like, you know, just kind of, you know, support the family, whatever. And the fiance was more of like, no, I want to work. I don't want to like be at home and be a stay at home mom or like housewife or whatever. And the son was trying to tell her, hey, well, my mom did it, and it turned out great. But in that process, she revealed that even though she did that, she kept all the receipts just in case something happened. And apparently when she revealed that, it kind of upset the husband, and it kind of upset the son, because they were like, wait, you mean to tell me you've been kind of, you know, keeping your options open in case something went bad? And so if you were with somebody, and let's say you come to find out 5, 6, 10 years later that they have been keeping all these receipts in case things went south, how would you feel? You know, as a man thinking everything's going good.
Honestly, I probably wouldn't feel bad.
Okay.
Because if this is my thing, now I probably wouldn't have one. But if I found out she had one, then I'm going to make one for myself too. So you ain't going to sit here and jump ship and let me sink. I'm going to be prepared as well. Like, I'm going to go ahead and get myself together. Even though she couple years ahead of me because I found out, then I'm going to go ahead and just say, okay, let me go ahead and get myself together. If we have some children, let's say our kids was like 12 and 13 years of age, then I would probably put a lot of stuff in their kid's name, you know?
Yeah, but the fact that now you're having to sort of, you know, cover yourself per se, doesn't that kind of...
I wouldn't cover myself. I would let her know up front. Once I found out that she had it, and then we talk about it, and I would let her know, well, I'm going to do the same for myself. You know, it's no hard feelings. I mean, I think that's smart, because starting over sometimes can be rough.
Yeah.
You know, especially if you invest in someone that many years, because I know a lot of people, including people in my family, who was together for a long period of time, and then they separated, and they had to start at ground zero. And it's different when, you know, you're in your early 20s, but when you at the age of like 55 and 60 or 45, and you got to start all the way over with everything, that's tough, you know, and you got little ones involved. So,
yeah, I mean, there's a couple of ways to look at it.
Right.
Now, obviously, her giving up her career to help him build his business or whatever. And in this day and age, like you said, when you got like the divorce rate damn near 50% or higher, there's a 50-50 chance that things may work out or may not.
Right.
So if she's looking at it from that standpoint, and she wants to make sure that if anything happens, like, and they have to go to court, they'll know, hey, I contributed to this company and this and this and that and this way and this that. So I feel like if we're going to get divorced, I need to have, I should be awarded this or that. Like, I can see that, that aspect of it. And, but at the same time, if you look at it from the man's standpoint, the man could be like, yeah, I mean, if things go south, like whatever I have, she, you know, she's going to take this or she's going to take that. But I don't know, maybe just the difference between men and women, but I feel like a lot of men don't think that way.
Yeah.
And they just kind of go, you know, I wouldn't say blindly into a relationship, but they just go with sort of like the best intentions.
Right.
And I feel like sometimes women kind of may not do the same. I'm not going to say everyone, but a lot of women may not go in the same way, and they might feel like they may have to have some kind of exit plan if things go south, especially if the man is the breadwinner or the one primarily making the money. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree.
But do you think that by doing that, or at least realizing that your partner feels that way, that it creates some kind of distrust?
It could. But I feel like if we have an understanding, then as long as we have an understanding, the whole purpose behind it, then yeah.
So by that same logic, if you found out that she was creating this contingency plan in case things went south, do you think that women should be upset if a man said, hey, before we get married, I want you to sign this prenup because I want to make sure that if something happens, you know, I don't lose everything, you know, 2 years down the road? Would that sort of be the same thing? And do you think that that would also create some distrust going into the relationship, especially if you're someone that has a lot of assets, for example?
If you have a lot, then I don't see a problem having a prenup. But now, if you both going in with the relationship with $75 in the bank account,
yeah,
then and the point of having a prenup.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why, for example, whenever Jeff Bezos got divorced, I wasn't mad that his wife got, I forget how many millions she got. She got a lot.
Was it millions or was it billions?
Well, I don't know if it was.
It was millions. It was like a high, high, high number.
Yeah,
of
a high number.
Very, very high.
I wasn't mad at that because they have been together for 25 years. She had been with him through, you know, the whole process. Now, granted, she may not have been the one in the office meetings, in the conferences, and this and that, but she was making sure things were good at home, and I think they have like 4 kids or something like that. Right. So
she earned it.
Yeah, she definitely earned it, you know, 25 years next to him. Now, granted, it didn't work out. But I'm not mad at the fact that she got what she got from him, because he started from the bottom and she was there with him from the start, from the jump.
Right.
But for example, this new one that he's with,
right?
He better have a prenup with that one, because I mean, she ain't been there from the get go, and now she's gonna take your other half that's left over if that don't work out. Which I don't think they're married, and I don't think that he's. I think he's okay keeping her where she's at, and I think she's okay also in that role. So I don't know that he'll necessarily marry again.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Any other thoughts on that?
Nope.
Man, well, I think that's all the stories I got to, for today, guys. This is been about an hour and five, but just want to let you guys know that next week we're probably not going to film or record, given that it's going to be 4th of July. There's going to be a lot of festivities going on, but we'll definitely be back the following week. And yeah, talk to you guys and give you some more stories of what's going on.
Be safe.
Yeah, don't forget to follow us on the socials, like, subscribe, and tell all your friends about it. But until next time, peace out.
Deuces.